Welcome to this sermon by Dr. Bruce Martin, pastor of Village Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now let's prepare our hearts as we listen to what God would have us learn today.
What if God really did speak to you in the service? Ezekiel says this, having eyes to see, they see not, having ears to hear, they hear not. God speaks and we don't always hear Him, do we? Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. He expects us to hear when He speaks to our hearts. Over and over again we read in the Old Testament, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. The Lord thy God is one. Hear, O Israel. The statutes and the judgments of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the word of the Lord thy God. Speak to me. We want to hear you, Lord. But many times we're like the guys who stoned Stephen. We stop up our ears. We really don't want to hear. I remember a man by the name of Dickie Knowles who said that he had an uncle that loved to eat pork. And Dickie said, my uncle loved pork. But at night, after eating pork, he would be in excruciating pain. And finally he said, my aunt said to him, go to the doctor. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, the pain that you experience at night is because of the pork. Stop eating pork. And Dickie said, when my uncle came back home, my aunt asked him, what did the doctor say? And he said, the doctor said I was going to be hurting about 3 days a week from now on. He wasn't giving up pork. You know, sometimes we just don't listen. When God speaks, you know what He says? There's two things that God always does when He speaks. Listen very carefully. He speaks to connect us with His grace, and He speaks to make us gracious, to learn the ways of grace. And for many of us, that's a lifelong endeavor, to learn the ways of grace. We are talking about adventures in following Jesus. And today I want to share with you probably the greatest adventure, a lifelong adventure. For guys, it's the hardest. It is for me. It's learning the ways of grace. I kind of got that from a pastor who said that he had every Sunday, there was a man who sat in the back of the church. He had watched him come in after the service started, leave before it was over. And he would sit on the back pew for years. He did this. The guy would come in and leave, come in and leave. Finally, somebody caught him and befriended him, and they got to know him. His name was Roy. And he said, Roy told this story. He was raised in a Christian home by a father who was a believer in Jesus, attended church every time the church doors opened, but his father was brutal, unloving, hard man. And Roy said, he beat me often. And he said, I left that home as quick as I could get out of that house. Roy was in his 60s when he walked down that aisle of that church and gave his life to Jesus, because that church showed him the ways of grace and loved him. And it took him 60 years to get over what his dad did to him. His dad was a Christian who didn't understand grace. You see, the Bible says this, grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. He is grace and truth. If you just have truth without grace, you know what you've got? You've got cold-hearted legalism. You've got somebody who will preach the truth, but without grace, it's cold and it's hard and it's hurtful. And that's what Roy experienced. A dad who believed the truth, but he did not know the grace side of it. Grace and truth came by Jesus. But if you have all grace without truth, what do you have? You got liberalism. Just do whatever you feel. God will forgive you. No, it doesn't work that way. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And He expects us to learn what to experience grace in forgiveness, and then to learn how to be gracious. Today in Acts chapter 9, we're going to look at a man who was like Roy's father. A man who was as hard as rock, hard as stone in his heart. His name was Saul, who later became Paul the Apostle. And we're going to read how that Paul experienced and then learned the ways of grace. And guys, if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to you. If a man like him could experience and then get a heart of grace, then there's hope for the rest of us, guys. I want us to learn the ways of grace today. Acts chapter 9. It says there in verse 1, after the stoning of Stephen, Paul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, that's Christians, whether men or women, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, he hears the voice of the Lord. God speaks to his heart. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Actually, it was an audible voice. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Why 3 days? Because same reason that Jesus was in the grave 3 days. Once you have a 9/11, as Jesus did on Calvary, there has to be a resurrection. And we see here 3 days. What happens? God sends somebody to help him. Look at verse 17. The man's name is Ananias. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now look what happens to him. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful. He grew in grace, didn't he? And baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now I want you to write 6 things. If you want to learn the ways of grace, you capture these 6 things and make them active in your life. Number one, write this down. Grace is always surprising and shocking. You see, he was on the road when it said, and suddenly a light shined upon him. And he realized he had been doing wrong. Grace is always shocking. The prodigal son came home, and his father ran, embraced him, kissed him, and welcomed him home. Grace is always surprising. The woman caught in adultery was thrown at Jesus' feet. He said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Grace was shocking that he would forgive that sin. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus said, Follow me. And it was shocking. Now, let me tell you what grace does. And write this down and always remember it because it's crucial. Grace always gives a blessing that isn't deserved. And it always, number two, withholds punishment that is deserved. Now, let me say that again. Grace always gives a blessing that is not deserved, and it always withholds punishment that is deserved. In other words, grace doesn't make you pay. Now, I say that for this reason. I want you to think right now, probably everybody in this room this week has made somebody pay. We've made somebody pay. My little boy gets mad at his friends, and what does he say? I'm not inviting you to my birthday party. He gets mad at his friends. He blocks them off of a Club Penguin. We get mad. We won't return their email. We give them the cold shoulder. We try to make them pay for what they've done to us. But if grace is blessing somebody that doesn't deserve it and withholding punishment from those who do, then grace means you have to surprise somebody with grace. I know what's going to happen. Next couple of weeks on Super Bowl night, Super Bowl's going to be on, and they're going to be running Love Story. And some wife's going to come in, and she's going to want to see Love Story, and he's going to want to see NFL football. And when he says we're seeing NFL football, she's going to pout around that house. Amen. Going to make him pay. Well, the best thing you can do, lady, is surprise him with grace. Plop down in that chair beside him and say, I'm watching NFL with you, and you're going to explain football to me. And you know, that's surprise him with grace. When's the last time, amen, see, I think I get an amen by that. Now, David Dobson, that is, as you cut off NFL and watch Love Story with her. That's grace too, isn't it? But let's think about this. Grace is always surprising. It's not doing what you feel, but it's doing what he says. Amen? And that's the hardest thing in the world to do, isn't it? It's always hard to do what he says, not what you feel. And that's why it's a constant battle. Sometimes we surprise ourselves with grace. Remember the story of a lady whose car stalled out in the middle of the intersection. The guy behind was laying down on the horn, and her car wouldn't start. And the guy was blowing the horn. And finally, she gets out, goes back to the guy blowing the horn, knocks on the window. He rolls it down. She said, would you get out and go up front and start my car, and I'll sit back here and blow the horn for you. Now, that was a surprise, wasn't it? Let's just trade places a little bit. Now, grace is shocking. But let me tell you something else. It shocked Paul to realize everything he had thought was true was not. He didn't think there was a God. He didn't think Jesus was the Son of God. He had a spiritual 9/11, like the Twin Towers collapsing. His whole belief system collapsed. But I want to tell you something. Out of the rubble, God built a temple for His Holy Spirit. Amen? And built one of the greatest men of God of all time because he was willing to say, God, I will walk the ways of this grace. I will embrace. I'll let you tear down what I was to build up what you want me to be. And some of you today need to come and say, God, let your grace begin working in me. The second thing I want you to know about grace is this. Not only is grace shocking, but grace is very personal. It's very personal. He called him by name, and he sent a person to lay hands on him. You see, grace is very personal. The word personal means that you get into somebody else's world. There at the well in John chapter 4 was a woman, a Samaritan. And Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you're right, you've had four husbands. You've been sleeping with four men, and the man you're sleeping with now is not your husband. Grace has to get personal. Sometimes he has to say that these are the things that you need to change in your life. Paul, why are you kicking against the goat? Why are you fighting and hurting my name? He pointed out explicitly what Paul had to deal with. He got very personal into Paul's life. And then he sent a man by the name of Ananias to go and lay hands on Paul. Now understand this. There used to be something we would hear in God's church every now and then. I don't hear it very often anymore in Christianity. Here's what I used to hear very often. God laid someone on my heart. God laid you on my heart. And it says here that God spoke to Ananias and said, Paul is over here. Go lay hands on him. He put Paul on Ananias' heart. And I'm wondering today, if we're going to learn the ways of grace, we've got to let God, when we talk about God speaking to us, He's going to speak not your name. He'll speak your name, what you need to be fixed, but He'll speak somebody else's name that He wants you to give grace to. And you read that Ananias fought him. He said, well, he's a pretty evil man. God said, go do it anyway. Doesn't matter how bad he is. I want you to go and let Paul be on your heart. To learn the ways of grace is to let God speak burdens to our heart. It's very personal. Number three, the ways of grace are expectant. When Ananias went there, he expected, because God told him to do that, he expected God to move through his hands. Ananias expected God to move. I wrote this down about a definition of expectation. Grace is the confident expectation of a good outcome. Grace is the confident expectation of a good outcome. Now let me just stop right here and say something. We aren't doing something in this church that we probably need to start doing. And it's my fault. My fault. It says there that Ananias laid hands on him. How many of you have ever had somebody get jumper cables and hook up your car to their jumper cables? Your battery was dead. Anybody ever had that? I've had to do it. You take jumper cables and there's a battery that's alive and well, and one that needs power because it doesn't have the power. So you hook up the cables to the one that doesn't have the power. When Ananias comes, he comes as a man charged up with God's power. And he comes and lays hands on one who is not charged with power, Paul. And scales fall from his eyes. Power, he says he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And I realize something, folks. I want y'all to realize something. Hear me very carefully. I get up every Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. I get up at 5:20 now. I used to get up at 4:30. Now I get up at 5:20. We canceled the 8 o'clock service. Glory, hallelujah. And I get up at 5:20, and the immediate first thing I do is I go into a closet and I pray. I get out and I read my Bible. And then I go over the message. I come to church at 7 o'clock and there's a prayer group. And we pray. We spend time praying. There were 7 of us praying this morning. We just go around and we pray for the worship service. After that, I go in my office and I've got a closet in which I go and pray. I have spent a lot of prayer before I walk into this pulpit. And I realize something. I'm all charged up. Why don't I invite people to come down so that I can do what Ananias did? And just lay a hand on you and say, I'll pray for you. Because you see, grace is an expectation that flowed from one to the other. From one that was charged with grace to one that was not. And I would say today, if you want to come down and let me pray for you this morning, we'll let you do that. And just say, would you just lay a hand on me and pray for me? And the scales fell from their eyes. There was an expectation of power flowing. So I'll invite you to do that today. But not only that, grace also requires absorption. Write this down. Grace is absorbed and learned. Notice here that he went and he sat with the disciples several days and he learned about the grace. You see, something you can have an experience of Jesus and not understand what just happened to you. So he sat and learned the Word. And then he went out and he grew in power, it said. Folks, we have to grow in grace. The Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace is not a constant in your life. Grace is something that grows in you. That's why you need to be in Sunday school, studying the Word. That's why you need to be in prayer every day. You absorb grace. But number five, there's the challenge of grace. Now this is the one I want to spend a little time on too. It says here, and I didn't read that part, but when he speaks to Ananias in verse 15, he says to Ananias to go and pray for Paul, or Saul, and he said, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You see, grace is compelling. Grace requires not only that we receive it, but that we give people what we got. And Paul went out and began to proclaim what he received. Some of you remember the name of D. James Kennedy. He was on TV for years, Presbyterian down in Florida. And Coral Ridge Presbyterian down there, and he's gone to be with the Lord, but I want you to hear his testimony. In the 1950s, D.J. Kennedy was a dance instructor at Arthur Murray. Now, what a call for a preacher. He was a dance instructor and pretty much an alcoholic. He drank all the time. He dated a young girl from a nearby college who asked him, she was a Christian, and she asked him about attending church. And he gave the old line that was his standby, you can be a good Christian and not attend church. And he said, this girl looked at him and said, no, you can't. She was the first one to challenge him. The next week, he said, he was getting over, he woke up one morning with a hangover, he'd been drinking all night. He said the radio was on, he fell asleep in bed with the radio on, and when he woke up that morning, he said Donald Barnhouse, the famous preacher, was on the radio preaching, and he woke up to hear him ask this one question. Suppose that you were to die today and stand before God, and he asked you, what right do you have to enter my heaven? What would you say? What would you say? He said, I started to cut the radio off, but he said, that word got into my spirit. What would you say if God asked you, why should I let you into heaven? And he sat down and he listened to Dr. Barnhouse, and he said he heard the message of Jesus and redemption through his blood. And he said, I got down on the floor beside my bed, and he said, I prayed and asked Jesus into my life. He said, I was marvelously changed. He said, as I was shaving, he said, I suddenly realized I'm forgiven. He said, I had shaving cream all over my face. And I said, I'm forgiven. And he married that girl, by the way, that challenged him. And he said this, I was so grateful and so happy that I decided right then and there, I want what happened to me to happen to as many people as possible. Now, isn't that that's what grace does. Grace is not just something that makes you feel good. It says, I want what happened to me to happen to as many people as possible. Grace is compelling. Grace is compassionate. Grace is challenging. How can I give somebody what I've been given? And he invented evangelism explosion that has led millions to Jesus Christ. What's the challenge of grace for you today? Some of you here today, and you need to accept the challenge of grace. You need to absorb some grace. And the harder you are, the more you need to absorb it. Maybe you need to do some surprising by grace. But here's one thing I want you to get in closing. And that is that grace sets you free. I want you to follow me on this one. Because I want everybody to leave this church today feeling free by what grace has done. And here's the best illustration I could come up with. Olympic ice skating. Let's suppose that you're an Olympic ice skater. Some of you guys, I'd love to see you on skates. Like you'd like to see me. You're an Olympic ice skater. You're in the Olympics. And if you've ever watched Olympic ice skating, you know that there are stages they go through. There's a basic stage. And every stage you get so many points. Let's say that you're coming to that final, the very final night. And it's all on the line. And you've seen it before. How you perform tonight will make the difference as to whether you win or lose. Can you imagine the butterflies in Olympic ice skaters? But suppose the chief judge comes to you and says this. You have amassed so many points that even if you fail and wiped out, you're still going to win. You have so many points credited to you, you're so far ahead of everybody, that man, you've won it no matter what you do tonight. Question, how would you skate knowing that you've already won it and you cannot lose? Would you not go out there with a freedom saying, hot dog, I'm going to have me some fun. Now they have a night after the Olympics, as you know, when the skaters do that. Those Olympic skaters, after the competition, they go out and have a night where they go wild. And they just skate whatever they want to skate. If you've seen that, that's always fun. But imagine the freedom of knowing you've won. You can't lose. You just go out there and live the freedom. That's what grace does for you. We are free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a freedom that is. He has bought us, paid for us. We can't go to hell because grace, by grace we are saved. And Paul was so charged with it that he began to walk in the ways of grace like nobody else. Oral Hershiser. What a name. Who would name a kid Oral? Oral Hershiser. Used to be a pitcher for the... There you go. That was a baseball test. L.A. Dodgers won the World Series. Appeared on a nighttime show that some of you may remember. Johnny Carson. How many remember that old nighttime show? Okay, this is Jay Leno crowd here. But Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson made a mistake. I wish you could have seen it. He said, Oral, as he was interviewing me, he said, I noticed you were moving your lips between innings, between pitches. And you were saying something. He said, what were you saying? He said, I wasn't saying anything. He said, I was singing. And Johnny Carson says, you were singing? How about sing us the song you sung when you won the World Series? And he said, no, I won't do it. Crowd, you know the crowd. They started clapping. Come on, sing, sing, sing. He said, okay, I'll sing it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the crowd was silent. Because God gave him a moment to share the greatest news of all. The grace that he had as he stood on that mound, pitching in the World Series. He was praising God. He was free. Because Christ had set him free. Some of you here today, you don't know the freedom of grace. I want to ask you to come down. Maybe I just need to lay a hand on you and say, be set free by His grace. Some of you are bound by sin and you've never experienced the saving grace of Christ. You need a spiritual 9/11 just like Paul had. And when you come and accept Jesus, it's a 9/11 moment. But understand, He'll take that rubble and He'll rebuild your life a temple in the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you to have a 9/11 experience. You know who else had a 9/11 experience? Peter. On one hand, Peter is cursing Jesus. Cursing that he's followed Jesus. He cursed and said, I don't know Him. But a couple of weeks later, at Pentecost, that same tongue that cursed led 3,000 people to Jesus. Amen? That's the work of grace. That's the work He can work in you. If you've never accepted His grace, let that grace of forgiveness come upon you now. It's only by the blood. You say, Pastor, how can you be gracious? Because Jesus paid it all. And all to Him I owe. That's what He did on Calvary. To give you a brand new life of forgiveness and a living, gracious life with His Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Village Baptist Church. If you would like to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do so right now. Simply bow your head right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and become the Lord of your life. Please do this today. None of us are promised tomorrow. We would love to hear about any stories, decisions, or feedback that you would like to share with us. We trust that you have been blessed today. Hope that you will join us again for our next service at Village Baptist Church.